Today, Minnesota's Supreme Court takes up a lawsuit claiming that former President Donald Trump should not be allowed on the presidential ballot in the state because of his role in the January 6th insurrection. There's a similar case underway in Colorado and in other states. The plaintiffs point to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which disqualifies anyone from running for president if they engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution after taking an oath to support it. Harvard University law professor Noah Feldman specializes in the Constitution. We spoke when he testified in favor of impeaching or trying Donald Trump in Trump's first impeachment trial. Professor Feldman, Noah, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
But let's start with this Colorado case. Lawyers for the Republican and independent voters who filed a lawsuit said in their opening statement that their goal is to make sure Colorado has a fair election among eligible candidates. They have backing from the left-leaning group Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington. And here's a bit from their attorney, Eric Olson.
Trump engaged in insurrection and therefore cannot appear on the ballot. No person, not even the former president, is above the law.
We're going to hear also from Trump lawyer Scott Gessler. He's a former Colorado Secretary of State, with his argument that his client didn't engage in insurrection and that the state courts should not be deciding this.
This is a federal issue, perhaps the most important federal issue we can have. And it's for Congress to set these standards, for Congress to provide guidance, not for the petitioners to come up with theories and try and convince you that they may be right.
Noah Feldman, they got down to details. Before we get to those specifics, just your sense of, you know, the overarching here, taking a former president to court because you want to make the case that he violated his vow to protect the Constitution.
Symbolically, it's very important. And I and many other people think that Donald Trump did violate his oath to uphold and support the Constitution on January 6th. But law and symbolism don't always go hand in hand. And there are some legal reasons to think that, notwithstanding the appeal of the idea that we could magically avoid having Donald Trump become president because of a provision of the Constitution that hasn't been much used in the last 150 years, I fear that it is not, in fact, the case legally.
Well, you just said something that indicates that you are not in favor of Donald Trump being president again, and that brings us back to the impeachment case. You've said to us that you think there maybe are other reasons that a Donald Trump should not be president again.
Manifestly unfit to serve in the office. Demonstrated through a presidency in which he consistently violated the basic constitutional requirements, twice impeached, though not convicted either time. But, you know, that's why we have a democracy. We have to rely in the end on ourselves to vote, and we're the ones collectively who have to vote Donald Trump out of office.
Well, but let's get down to the details. For instance, the plaintiffs are pointing to Trump's speech on January 6th before his followers made the trip down to the Capitol and then breached it, when he told supporters to fight like hell. Gessler argued that words like fight are often used. He argued that none of President Trump's words were a call to violence. He said that's a political term. Your sense on just that back and forth, because that seems to be key.
Well, actually, it doesn't have to be key. I actually think there's a reasonable case to be made that Trump did give aid or comfort to the enemies of the United States, or arguably engage in insurrection through his words. I think it's a close case, but I think you could make a case. The problem is a different one. The problem is that back in 1869, just a few years after this part of the Constitution was ratified, the Chief Justice of the United States, a guy called Salmon P. Chase, who had previously been in Lincoln's cabinet, issued an opinion, not for the whole court, but for a court of appeals, saying that this whole part of the Constitution doesn't go into force unless Congress passes a law explaining that it does go into force. And we don't have such a law. And so the case in all of both of these cases, both the Minnesota case and the Colorado case, and issues brought up around this by in a Law Review article by two conservative originalist professors, all just ignore this decision. They just say, well, it was a bad decision. It wasn't well-reasoned, and we should pay no attention to it. And although it's true that on the merits, it's not the most smart decision ever written by any justice of the Supreme Court, it's been the legal guide to courts thinking about this issue since 1869, which is why this provision of the Constitution is not much discussed by constitutional lawyers, does not take him seriously as having practical relevance.
Well, and is there a possibility that hiccup, an important one that you're pointing out, could be fixed.
Yes. If Congress today were capable of passing any law at all, that would be nice. But they certainly aren't about to pass a law giving applicability to Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
Well, so there's that huge, roadblock here. But back to some of the arguments that Trump's lawyers are making. One of them is that this Section 3 of the 14th Amendment does not apply to a president.
Yes. This is an argument based on the idea that conservatives have been bandying about for some time now, that the president of the United States is not, quote, an officer of the United States under the terms of the Constitution. And this is a very technical argument. It suggests that the laundry list of people who would be disqualified from running for office under Article 14, Section 3, which includes everybody you could possibly think of, pretty much down to the local dog catcher, does not include the president, because they don't specifically say you can't be president of the United States. They say you can't become a senator or representative, an elector for president or vice president, or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States. So it's pretty clear from context that they meant to include the president. And the idea that because they didn't say the word president, they said officer, and they must not have meant the president when they said officer, to me, just doesn't hold water.
Well, Noah Feldman, what do you think are some of the possibilities here? Might judges rule on whether Trump fits the criteria in the 14th Amendment, or on whether it's not applicable to a president, or whether voters should, throw the whole thing out and say it's the voters who should decide? What are some of the possibilities here?
It is not outside the bound of possibility that some state courts would rule to say that Trump could not be on the ballot. It's extremely unlikely. But if they do that, Trump would appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court, which would have the last word on this because it's a question about the meaning of the Constitution. And it seems to me vanishingly unlikely that the Supreme Court would uphold the judgment of the state courts here. I also would add that from a pure hardball politics perspective, it would only matter that Trump was not on the ballot in a state where Trump had a chance of winning. And so if it's a blue state and Trump were actually kept off the ballot, it won't make any difference because presumably Joe Biden, assuming they're both alive and running at the time, would win all the electoral votes in every blue state. So that's why this remains mostly in the realm of symbolism. To me, the takeaway, though, really is that loopholes don't decide Democratic elections. We shouldn't rely on a just discovered provision. I think of sort of the National Treasure movies where you sort of think that you'll magically discover some proviso of the Constitution that tells you where the secret treasure is. In this sense, the Constitution doesn't include this particular secret treasure, or maybe it did originally, but we've interpreted over the years in such a way that it can't really be applied.
Harvard University Law Professor Noah Feldman, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.